If you are still open to the 78th Psalm, if you want to mark that, that's going to be where the bulk of our lesson comes from. I thought it would be good for us to think about teaching our children. You know, it is easy for us to get caught up in the decorations and the crafts and those kind of things, and I'm not trying to downplay the importance of those. I understand that children learn differently than we adults do, and they need those kind of things to help them learn. But again, that's what those things should just be the vehicles that we use to teach them. And what I really want us to make sure that we do always, and especially as we go into this VBS, is to kind of keep the big picture in mind. What it is that we need to be teaching our children. And what I want to do with this lesson, what I hope comes out of this lesson, is that we remember that ultimate goal of us teaching our children, whether it be here in the building or in our homes or any place else, that we give them a foundation about who God is and about the importance of serving Him and pleasing Him. That our true effort in all of this is to raise up children for God, who will bring glory to His name. And one of the things that Teresa really helped me understand when I first started preaching and even teaching, for those of you who don't know, I think most of you do, she was an elementary ed major and taught school for a couple years. And so one of the things that she helped me understand is that anytime you teach, you have to have an objective. There has to be something that you want to accomplish. And so everything you do has to be pointed towards that objective. And so again, well, I just want us to remember what our objective in teaching our children is. And that is for them to establish a relationship with God. And really, that's what the psalmist is telling us here. The psalmist says, listen, I want you to listen to me in verse 1. He says, because I'm going to tell you some things of old. And the idea there is he's not going to say anything new. He's just bringing out the old things that they already knew, the things that they had heard from their fathers. And he says, listen, we can't hide these things from our children. We need to give these things to our children so that they won't rebel against Israel, against God, like their fathers did. But that instead, that they'll build a relationship with Him, that they'll remember the marvelous things that He did for them and put their faith and their trust in Him. Beginning in verse 6, he really kind of gets at the heart of why it was important for people to listen and to teach their children. In verse 6, he says that the generation to come might know. Now, the New King James has the word them there, but if yours is like mine, it's in italics, which helps us know that word isn't in the original. What it says in the original is that the generation to come might know. That's it. Well, I think we understand why the psalmist would say that. Is that they need to know. They need to know everything there is to know about God and His magnificent works. They need to know about how God has worked with a mighty hand in His creation. You know, before your kids ever get to school and start learning about evolution, they already need to have a foundation about creation and about who God is and about how He worked in this world, how He spoke this world into existence in 6 days and on the seventh day rested. They need to know how God has dealt with and does deal with both the righteous and the unrighteous. They need to understand from the scriptures how good men make the right decisions. I read a great quote this week. I'm going to pass it on to you. You have the right to choose your actions, but you do not have the right to choose the consequences of those actions. And I thought that was a great quote. You have the right to choose your actions, but you don't get to choose the consequences. And that means you have to think about the consequences when you make the right choices. We look around the world and we think evil is winning. But one of the things we learn from the scriptures is that evil cannot prevail. It's already been defeated. And you know, here's the thing that I really want us to understand is that they need to know and appreciate these stories early in their life. They can learn so much early in their life. You know, when Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:5, there he talks about 3:15, he talks about the scriptures and he says that you have known from childhood. You know that word is infancy? Infancy. You have known these things from infancy. You know, the first time I ever heard the story of Zacchaeus, I was like 27, 28 years old. I thought this was the coolest story in the world. Then I hear these little kids after the story, and they're singing a song about it. I thought, man, that is just awesome. And I was kind of jealous that those kids already knew about Zacchaeus way before I did. And we think they don't learn. They are like little sponges, just soaking it up. And so they need to know those things, and we need to pass those things on. Don't be afraid to just tell the kids the story. Verse 5, he says, that talks about how God has established a testimony in Jacob and has appointed a law in Israel which he commanded our children. Now, they need to know those stories, but they also need to know that there's a law that's behind that, that God governs the creation and everything in it by his law. I want you to turn over and look at what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth." You see what he's saying? You need to know, your children need to know about the commandments of God, because this is what gives them life. This is what's going to make life better for them. And in a lot of ways, easier for them to understand those commandments and to have that foundation. And I'll tell you something else. They need to know that God's law supersedes all law. That there is no one above him. And when God speaks, that's all that needs to be said. Another thing they need to know is they need to know really who God is and who his son is. The Pharisees knew the law. But you know what they didn't know? They didn't know the Father. And because of that, they didn't know the Father's Son. Look at what Jesus said in John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and in verse 19. John chapter 8. Go back, actually, let's go back to verse 17. He said, It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Then they said to him, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also." Yeah, they knew the law, but they didn't know what was really important. They didn't know who God was and who his Son was. Listen, it's not enough for us just to teach our children morals. You know, it's not enough just to teach our children, don't commit fornication, don't lie, don't steal. That's not enough. They have to understand why and what's behind the law. What's behind the law is a God. A God who loves goodness, hates evil. A God who wants us to please him. And that the reason we don't commit fornication, the reason we don't lie, the reason we don't steal, is because we love that God and we want to please him. Don't teach your children a code. Teach them about the wonderful word of God. Teach them about the magnificent God that they serve. Second part of chapter 6 also says that we're to teach these things. I'm sorry, verse 6 of Psalm 78 says that we're to teach these things to our children so that they may rise up and declare them to their children. When you get right down to it, our job as parents is to prepare our children to be parents. That's really our goal, is to prepare them to have a family of their own. And, you know, I think about that, how much we work and scrimp and save and try to provide for our children and give them a good education and all these kind of things. And then sometimes we fail to give them the one thing that they truly need, and that is a deep knowledge and love for God. What greater blessing can we give to our children and our grandchildren than to prepare our own children to be able to pass on a knowledge and an understanding and a respect and a love for God? Make it so deep in them and so real in them that they don't have any problem at all passing it on to their children. You know, God's plan has always been for one generation to teach the next generation. You know, Adam was to teach his children. Moses said, you teach your children when you lay down, when you're walking by the way, when you're whatever you're doing. And then even Paul told Timothy to find men, faithful men, who would be able to teach others also. You know what the purpose of the book of Psalms is? You want to turn over to Proverbs. The purpose of the Proverbs is to pass that knowledge on. I want you to notice what Solomon wrote in Proverbs 4. Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Solomon says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give it attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live." And then again and again, he comes back to this same idea. In verse 10, he says, "Hear, my son, and receive the sayings, and that the years of your life will be many." In verse 20, he says, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my saying." Verse 22, "For they are life to those who find them, and a health to all of their flesh." He says, listen, I'm passing this on to you so that you can live. And really what I'm passing on to you is what was given to me by my father. That's the greatest inheritance that you can leave your children, is a knowledge and a love for God. So in all of our teaching and planning, we must never lose sight of that tremendous responsibility. We've got to prepare our own children to carry on the battle, fighting for the souls of men and women living in a lost and dying world. Go back to the 78th Psalm, and if you look at verse 7, we see something else we have to remember as we teach our children. He says, we're to teach our children that they may set their hope in God, not forgetting the works of God. You know what that's really talking about? That's talking about instilling faith in them so that they can hope in God. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is based on evidence and substance. The evidence is the evidence of things not seen. And while that certainly is invisible things, things that we can't see about the spiritual realm, it also includes things that happened in the past. Very interesting, in verse 9 it says, of the 78th Psalm, it says, the children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows, turn back in the day of battle. They are armed and ready for battle, and yet they turned back in that day. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in His law and forgot His works and His wonders that He had shown to them. They forgot those things. Their heart failed them because they trusted in themselves and not in the Almighty God. And in verse 12, here's what they should have remembered. Marvelous things He did in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the water stand up like a heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and in the night with a light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. When you serve a God like that, what do you have to fear? What do you have to worry about? I think sometimes we've taken the passage that says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and we've made that a plan, a plan of salvation, and we think that's a one-time thing. First time you hear God, you got to decide, are you going to have faith or not? And if you don't have faith, then you're not going to be saved. But if you have faith, you can take the next step and be saved. That's a wrong way to look at that verse. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You know what that means? If you need more faith, you need to study more. Hear more. Understand more. That's what it takes. And we've got to instill that in our children. I mean, when you know that God took care of people like Rahab and Jacob, you can have faith that God will take care of you. When you know that God delivered men like Daniel out of the mouth of the lions, and the Apostle Paul from every persecution he ever faced, then you can know that God will deliver you. When you know that God loved you so much that he sent his only begotten Son in the world to die for you so that you can be changed from a sinner to a saint, then you don't ever have to doubt that God loves you and wants only what's best for you. Our children need to know that so that they can put their hope and their trust in him. John, in the Gospel of John, near the end of the book, he tells us exactly why he wrote the Gospel. You know, when John wrote his Gospels, the other three Gospels were already in circulation. They were already out there. But he wrote this Gospel and he had a special purpose in mind. And he tells us what it is in John chapter 20 and verse 30. He says, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." The reason John wanted to tell the story of Jesus Christ is so that you and I can have hope in Jesus. Near the end of 1 John, he says the same thing. So that you can know you have eternal life. We need to instill some truths into our children about who God is, so that they can set their hope on him. Our children need to know that they can trust God no matter how dark the day may seem. I also want you to go back and I want you to look at something else he says in Psalm 78 in verse 7 still. He says, "They were to teach these things, first of all, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." I'm not the world's greatest grammar person, but I know that what he's saying is that they may set their hope on God and that they may keep his commandments. And I think that's interesting, the way the psalmist says that. He doesn't say, teach them to keep the commandments. He says, teach them that they may keep the commandments. And I think there's a subtle but important difference. You know, I did what my drill sergeant did because I was convinced he could put his hand to my chest and rip my heart out. That's what he said he could do. And I believed him. And so I didn't run because I loved him. I ran because I was afraid he's going to rip my heart out of my chest. I was scared of him. And so sometimes I think that's what we do to our children. We teach them, you know, that God is this mean guy up there in heaven and just going to kill you the first time you mess up or something. And so that's what we do. You got to keep these commandments. It's about keeping these commandments. It's about keeping these commandments. I remember one of the guys I went to college with, that's kind of the impression that he was taught. You don't question it. You just do it. That's the end of it. And then when he got to be close to graduating, he started questioning some of the things that he believed because he was never taught why he believed those things. And his mama got scared. There's a young man who's very close to me right now. He's kind of in that same place. And his mama is scared. You want to know how to keep that from happening with your kids? Don't just teach them to keep the commandments. Teach them why they're keeping the commandments. Teach them about the God behind it. Teach them to love God and know who He is, that they might keep the commandments. Don't just teach them the strict set of guidelines. They need to be taught about having a conviction. I think this is very interesting what Paul says in 2 Corinthians, and he didn't apply it to children, but I think that we can make that application. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. He's explaining to them why he didn't come back to Corinth. You know, after he wrote that letter and it was kind of hard, why he didn't come. And he says, moreover, I call, this is verse 23, moreover, I call God as my witness against my soul that to spare you, I came no more to Corinth. Not that we have dominion over your faith, but are fellow workers for your joy. For by faith you stand. Paul says, I can't lord over your faith. I don't have dominion over your faith. I can't make you have faith. And guess what? We cannot make our children have faith. As much as we might try, as much as we might like to, we can't. It has to be their own faith. They've got to live by their own faith. They're going to have to answer to their God. I heard a preacher one time, he said, God doesn't have grandchildren. Only children. And the point he was trying to make is, look, you've got to instill faith in your children so that they become God's children. Are we teaching our kids in such a way that they will develop their own faith? Are we giving them the things that they need? Or have we made God an oppressive rule maker? Is He just some big meanie that we pull out to threaten our kids? It's interesting to me when you think about family dynamics and those kind of things. And what I have seemed to notice just in my own experience is that parents who are oppressive to their children often turn out the most rebellious kids. And maybe it's because it's under the thumb so long that when they finally have the opportunity to be free, they just go nuts. See, so what I'm trying to say is, don't turn God into some ogre. Make Him who He is. Share with your children who He is. Let them have faith and hope in a God who is holy, but who is also merciful. Because this takes us to the next step. God never wanted commandment keepers. You know, if God wanted us to be commandment keepers, He could have just created us that way. There's a reason God instilled in us the right to choose. You know, the thing about a computer, you saw, oh, the stupid computer, you know, it never does what I want to. No, you're wrong. It does exactly what you want it to. Nothing more, nothing less. That's all it can do. You know, the very old computer saying is garbage in equals garbage out. And that's the idea. You only get out of it what you put into it. It's not how we are. And so God doesn't want us to be robots. He doesn't want us to just go through the motions. Isaiah 29 and verse 13, God condemned Israel for being these kind of people. You remember what He said? Because Jesus will later on quote this, the same thing about the people of His day. Look at Isaiah 29 and then verse 13. Isaiah 29, and in verse 13, says, therefore the Lord says, inasmuch as these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the commandment of men, Jesus says the same thing. Paul says the same thing at the end of the book of Acts. It's not just about following rules. It's about giving God our heart and our soul, our mind, and our strength. One other thing, and if you look at Psalm 78, one other reason that we need to teach our children, he says that they may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God. When you think about the history of Israel, what do you think about? Think about all the times that they rebelled. I mean, you look at the book of Judges over and over again. The book of Judges is just one cycle. You know, they sin and God sends them into slavery. And then they cry out to God for deliverance and He delivers them. And there's a period of time where things go well, but lo and behold, they sin again and it starts all over and over again. It was very early on in the history of the Israel as a nation when they're out there in the wilderness wandering. God asked him a question. He said, how long am I going to put up with you? Jesus, when he came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, found his disciples arguing with people. He looked at them and he said, you faithless generation, how long am I going to put up with you? And we understand. We need to teach our children diligently because they don't need to make the mistakes we made. We don't want them to make the same mistakes that we made. See, it's easy for us to point to Israel and say, I don't want them to be like Israel. I'm going to tell you something. I don't want my kids to be like me when I was a young man either. I seriously have prayed, Lord, please don't let my daughters meet a young man like me. Please don't let my sons be the young men that I was. It has been said, those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. There's a reason that we have the Old Testament. There's a reason that two-thirds of the Bible is the history of God's people. So that we can look at them and say, I don't want to make the same mistakes that they made. You know, we think about King David and that one night with Bathsheba. He suffered the rest of his life for that one night. We don't want him to make those mistakes. I mean, there are whole chapters of my life that I wish had never been written, but I don't want them to be repeated. And one of the best ways that I can do that is by instilling in them a teaching about who God is. Who He is. You know, the strongest generation of Israelites to ever live, that generation that went in and captured the promised land, you know who raised them? That generation of Israel whose bodies were left scattered in the desert. Do you wonder if maybe they were that strong because they saw the consequences of sin? You know what's sad, though? The generation that followed that generation was, again, one of the worst. The generation that fought in Canaan and secured the promised land for Israel, the next generation, the very next generation, there arose a generation in Israel that knew not God. How sad. I think those are some of the saddest words in the Bible. A generation that knew not God. Was it because their parents didn't teach them about the mistakes that they had seen, that they had made? Is there any mistakes in your life that could have been avoided simply by following God's principles? Did you learn anything like that? Then pass it on to your children. And the other thing I want to say about this is I want to talk to the kids for just a minute. Listen, We, as your parents, as your grandparents, we don't want you to make the same mistakes that we made. So when we look at you and we say, listen, don't go down this path, you can look at us and say, yeah, like you know what's in the world today. Yeah, right, you know, you don't even know what shoes to wear with what pants, you know. Well, maybe I don't know what shoes to wear with what pants, but you know what? I know what sin is. I know what goes on in the world. It hasn't changed. You know, you have access to some things that we didn't have access to, but it's still the same stuff. Boys and girls are still the same. Those kind of things are still going on. Young men still tempted by the same thing young men are always tempted by. So don't think that we don't know what we're talking about. And listen, we're not trying to make life hard on you. We're trying to make life a little easier for you. And that's the truth. Some of us have to live with heartache because of the mistakes that we make. And it doesn't go away. As fine a young man as my son Jordan has grown up to be, I still have to explain quite often why it is he's 22 and Teresa and I have been married for 21 years. And it still hurts. We don't want you to make those mistakes. So listen. A generation arose who knew not God. Every time I think about that verse or hear that verse, I think about my own children. But also think about your children as well. I taught a lesson very similar to this one time at Galena. We had something like 50 kids. And I listed every one of the kids' names on the board behind me. And I asked, you know, before that, I asked, I said, what percentage of kids do you think leave the Lord? And somebody threw out a number. Let's just say it was 25%. Then I put all those names up on the board, and I said, okay, somebody start marking off names. Whose name, if we're happy, if we're okay with 25% of our children not being faithful to the Lord, whose name do you want to mark off? Don't you touch my kids' names. Is that how you feel too? Generation arose who knew not God. We have a great opportunity this week. A great opportunity to instill in our children a love for God and for His Son and for the magnificent stories of hope and redemption that we find in the Bible. The whole purpose of this week needs to be to instill that love in them. Not impress them with the crafts, but use the crafts to teach them. Not impress them with the decoration, but use the decorations to teach them. The decorations are going to fade away. The crafts will be lost and broken in time. But those truths, those stories, will take them into eternity. There is no greater joy for a godly parent than to see his children obey the gospel. Absolutely. I remember baptizing all four of my children. It's just, it's the best. But you know what? Obeying the gospel isn't about making mom or dad happy. It will. It'll make them happy, but that's not what it's really about. It's about making your Heavenly Father happy. And that's the true motivation for doing it. That's the motivation we have to instill in our children and help them to use all throughout their lives to be faithful to Him, to have hope in Him, to trust in Him, to obey Him. If you're here this morning and you're this evening and you're not a Christian, I would just encourage you to do what you need to do to make God the true center of your life. If you're here and you're not lived the way you ought, please change. Because as sad as it is, or as happy as it is to see our children obey the gospel, there's nothing more sad than to see them walk away from the Lord. And if it makes us feel that way, I can only imagine how it makes our Heavenly Father feel.
That's why he's pictured in the story of the prodigal son is just waiting for that son to return. And he rejoices when he returns. If you're here and your life isn't right with God, won't you do whatever you need to do to make those changes in your life right now? If we can help you, come as we stand and sing.